Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. Any kids going back to school? Man, you can't hide. You were all just up at the front. You can't hide now. Three hands went up. Lord, forgive them. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all children of God, but somebody say, by faith in Christ Jesus. Now verse 29, and if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I feel so much help in the Holy Ghost, and I feel as if I can stand flat-footed with a mandate from God. I have come today to preach on baptism. God is going, I'm telling you. I feel so much confidence in the Holy Ghost. I am nothing, but He is everything. And before we leave this place, you are going to leave with clarity, you're going to leave with confidence, and you're going to turn this city upside down. I believe that the Spirit of truth is going to blow throughout this house, and it's going to destroy every ounce of opposition, every ounce of false religion, every false ideology. I believe every devil in this region is about to be broken in Jesus' name. And if you believe that, if you receive that, would you lift your hands and would you lift your voice and speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives you the utterance? God, right now, by the authority of the Word of God, by the power that is in the name of Jesus, I bind every distraction. I bind every spirit that is contrary, and I loose revelation in this house. I loose activation in this house. Let us not just be hearers of the Word, but let us be doers. And if you receive that, would you clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God? Oh, that feels good. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Oh, come on. He inhabits the praises of His people. He's here right now. He's here right now. He's here right now. Amen. I think there is nothing to quite engage in spiritual warfare. I know what you're feeling like. I thought we were going to hear about spiritual warfare this morning. There is no spiritual warfare like the truth. And I believe by the time we leave here, we are going to leave empowered. We're going to leave charged. And many of you, you're going to leave wet and then dry, because we got towels for you. We've got changing. We got changing rooms for you. We are ready for you to be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. High five somebody around you. Tell them, come on, Holy Ghost, and you may be seated. Yesterday, as we were driving, it was quite an experience for me to see these things that we call hills and mountains. And it was very cool for a guy from Florida, where it is quite flat, get to see the different elevation and the wonderful scenery that you guys have around here. And it was very neat to get to talk to Pastor McCoy and go down memory lane. I know they, for many years, their children and them, they lived pretty much on a campgrounds where they would have youth camps and those kind of things. I had a similar upbringing, and for many years in my life, I went to church camp, or at least I helped work church camp. And I want you to imagine with me an 8-9-year-old Luke Curry in the midst of the Florida heat. Now, this is what you have to imagine if you'll go there with me. Florida is hotter than the devil's armpit. It's horrible. It's like 175 degrees outside, and I'm exaggerating, but it's hotter than a zipper fresh out of the dryer. I mean, it's horrible. It's hot. It's hot, and then it gets hotter. And that what they do at kids camp is they give them Kool-Aid, and then they let you outside to bake in the sun and see if you survive. That's pretty much the extent of kids camp. And so that's what they do. They send you outside and they give you basketballs and more activities as if that's going to help cool you down. And they just throw you outside. And so if you can imagine with me the severity of the situation, if I did not get relief in my mind, I was going to die. It was hot. And there was going to be no relief until I saw what they referred to, bro, as the snack shack. The snack shack is this magical place where kids would line up for miles and they would hand out ice creams and push pops and pickles and Cokes and Dr. Peppers. We got any Dr. Pepper people in here? Okay, the doctor's here. No, I'm just kidding. And they would hand out all of this different stuff, and I realized that if I could make it to the snack shack, then maybe I could live for another day. Maybe I could survive to the next day of camp. And so I go to the snack shack and I line up and I'm going down and do I have money? No, of course. I'm a kid. I don't have any money. I'm just lining up and I'm following the line and I'm watching them hand out ice cream. Now look, my favorite is a drumstick. Anybody know what a drumstick? I know that makes me like 70 years old, but I'm if you're 70, that's very young. Yeah, it's very young. But that I love a drumstick, and you know what I'm talking about. It's got the peanuts on top. It's like a little ice cream cone. It's a little slice of. I love a drumstick. That's why I had to loosen these suspenders this morning. But it's awesome and it's wonderful. And I was excited about it. And I get there and I ask for the drumstick, and they hand the drumstick out the door. When they say these words, "We'll put it on your father's tab." Here's the deal. I don't know what a tab is. I still don't know how a tab really works, I don't think. I guess I get it. I don't know who paid for it. All I knew is that at the mention of my father's name, I could have whatever my heart desired. At the mention of my father's name, I became the coolest kid in camp. Whoever I wanted to be my... You want a Gatorade? Instantly. Why? I didn't know how it worked. I didn't know how it operated. But I will tell you a revelation that I knew my dad was cooler than their dad. And I know we're laughing, and I know we're chuckling, but I feel a witness of the Holy Ghost, because I'm telling you, at the mention of your father's name, at the mention, if you really want to know how to beat the heat this morning, if you really want to know how to escape the flame, let me preach to you for a couple of minutes. It's at the mention of a name where everything can change. It's at the mention of a name when darkness has to flee. It's at the mention of a name where every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess, because my dad is better than their dad. My God is greater than their God. Now my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or even think. If you know his name, why don't you shout Jesus? Oh, clap your hands. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Because it matters who your father is. It matters who your father is. Most identity issues in our world today, most self-perception issues, can all be drawn back to a single issue. It is a lack of a father in the home. It is a lack of a male role model that leads to identity crises. You want to know why we have gender confusion and gender dysphoria and all of these? Why? It leads back to the lack of a male role model, because it's the father that tells you, son, I know exactly who you are. I know exactly what you're made for. There's a great purpose for your life. There's, daughter, I have a plan for you. Daughter, I love you. Luke Curry have been sent from Florida to let you know that I am a child of the Most High King. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I've got a good God who does good things, and he's on my side. I've got a Father who can do everything my heart desires. There's nobody like my God. Come on, don't believe me. There's no one that can save like he can. There's no one that can deliver like he can. There's no one that can set you free like he can. There's no one that can heal you like he can. There's nobody like my Father. Galatians 3:26, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The key is that you have to have faith. Somebody say faith. You have to have faith in a God who is going to have your best interest in heart. I know it is hard in today's civilization where we are called, or especially in American society, where we are called to question every level of authority. Oh, y'all acting, y'all really got quiet. Cops are crooked. County commissioners aren't doing what they're supposed to do. Mayor's bad. We don't like to. It doesn't matter. We always got an issue with somebody that's in authority. And I'm not trying to tell you what to do politically. What I'm trying to say is, if we're not careful, we will allow our political views to begin to seep into our spiritual view. And that is that there can be no authority. There can be no one you're trying. Here, I am a man under authority. Let me tell you why I can lay hands on the sick. Not because I'm so great, but because the man that's in charge, he doeth the work. And I've come to preach that if you'll have faith not in me, but in him, there is no telling what God. Thank you, Lord. I know I said that thing about suspenders, but I keep having to pull my pants up. I think I need to tighten them. I didn't loosen them. I've been losing weight. The key there is you have to have faith. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Can I get an amen? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God, look, now look, y'all going to think I'm bipolar today. I'm going to teach a little bit, preach a little bit, screech a little bit. You'll just ride with me, okay? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is not a cruel dictator. He is not a callous governor. Hear me. He loves you. He has great plans for you, and he is on your side. That's why you've got to have faith. The old song would say, faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. It don't take a whole lot. Just use what you got. Why? Because you have to have faith. Sometimes faith can drive you to do things that are uncomfortable. Faith can drive you to step out of a boat. Faith can drive you to lay hands on someone who's dead. Faith can drive you to step out of an aisle. What are you talking about? It's faith. Faith, true faith, is not dead. It moves you to the point of action. If you really have faith, you're going to do something about it. Why? Because faith without works is dead. But if you want life and life more abundantly here today, it's time to put your faith into action. God is pulling on you right now, this very moment. You can feel it. There's something that you feel God is requiring you to do. You feel like tears are getting ready to come down your eyes. You feel like, I'm telling you, I have family members that when they first came to this thing, and they're not living for God anymore, but I can remember the stories of them. It was like something pulled them to an altar. They couldn't help themselves. They tried to escape and go to the bathroom. Next thing they knew, they were walking down an altar, and their hands were lifted, and their eyes had tears. What are you talking about? It will drive you. It will push you. It will challenge. Well, I have faith. prove it. Do something about it. Because faith without works is dead. Let me help you. There's many of you that are feeling like you need to do something. Let's look at what we need to do. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. It's our opening text. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So you're telling me I have to be baptized. I thought belief and faith were enough. Hear me. Let's look at what the Bible has to say about baptism. I hope that today, by the end of this message, you can see that there is beauty in baptism. Here's the beauty of baptism. Are you ready? Mark 16:16. I thought I just had to have faith in God. This is what the Bible has to say. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. What are you talking about? You have to go beyond belief. You have to go beyond a feel-good action. You have to go beyond accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because here's the deal. He is your Savior whether you accept him or not. He's your only hope. So what you have to do is you have to make up in your mind, not only do I believe, but I will be baptized. Somebody say belief is not enough. Belief alone is not enough. The devils also believe and do tremble. Oh, and by the way, they only believe there's one God. They believe. They tremble. They are driven to action. I'm telling you why you have to move beyond. Because if you really believe in something, you will do something about it. God believed in you so much. He said for the passion that was set, for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. He was passionate about you. What are you talking about? These are action words. These are action statements. He loved you enough to do something about it. For God so loved the world that he gave. Everything about God is loving to the point of action. So the question is not if he loves us. You know why? We know he loves us because he already did something about it. But the question still remains, do you love him? And if you love him, you should do something about it. You should do more than accept him. You should allow him to save you. John 3:5 says it this way. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot, somebody say cannot, enter the kingdom of God. Well, preacher, are you saying that baptism is a salvation issue? Okay, let's look at what the Bible has to say. The like figure, 1 Peter 3, now, brother Scripture, dude, I tried to get them to you, or sister Scripture, dude, I tried to get them to you. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Brother Curry is not just saying that baptism is a salvation issue. The Bible is saying that baptism is a salvation issue. Now look, you can sit there and look at me like my head's the size of a watermelon if you want to, but if it's a salvation issue, that means we should take some time every now and then and preach about it. We should take some time and discover the truths of God's word. You got to figure out what the authority in your life really is. Are you just tossed about with every wind of life? Are you just spit up here and spit up there? Or do you plant your feet flat-footed on the word and say, whatever the Bible says, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever the word of God, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to slow down. You ready? Get this. Chew, don't choke. Here we go. For instance, you may be seated, roll, slobber, snot, I don't care. It means something. The word baptism means to immerse or submerge. So much so that they used it in an everyday context in the time of the Bible. Which means when they said somebody was baptized, it means that they were fully submerged. That's why nowhere in Scripture do you find sprinkling, do you find dousing, do you find using a super soaker. Why? Because every time somebody was baptized in Scripture, they were always fully submerged. That's why I would also tell you that when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, a little dab will not do you. Look, I have a hard time believing people that say that they are Holy Ghost filled, but do not act like. You know why? Because when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just like we believe in full submersion, we believe that when you get the Holy Ghost, you get the real deal Holy Ghost. You come all the way in. You go all the way down. That's why I dance the way I dance. I speak in tongues. I roll on the floor. I change the way I dress because I got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. I just don't think I have your kind of Holy Ghost. I don't believe that. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. Yea, the Bible said in another place, he's a consuming fire. Yea, even a jealous God. You can't be consumed by something else in the fire of the Holy Ghost at the same time. It just got real. You feel that? Because we like to go throughout our life consumed by this and consumed by that and consumed by worry and consumed by sports and consumed by Hollywood and consumed by, and we're consumed by all of this stuff. Let me tell you what will consume you: the fire of the Holy Ghost. If you ever get it, you'll never go back. If you ever taste it, you'll never turn around. It's the Holy Ghost. So if it's this important, we must look at what, I'm going to slow down and teach for a little bit. I'm going to try my best to get us out of here at a decent time. But I want us to leave with understanding. If it's this important, then let's look at what the Bible has to say about baptism. Ephesians 4:5 starts it this way. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So you're telling me there is only one biblical way to be baptized? Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, every time somebody is baptized in Scripture where they use a name, it is always done in this name. So let's look at it. What is it? If there's only one biblical way to be baptized, then we must look at what way that is. Got it? Touch the person next to you and say, got it? Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But Peter says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent. Come on, I thought I was in a Pentecostal church. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a promise. You're going to receive it today. But here's the question. Here's the question, my brother. I know this is a different speed, but I feel a mandate from God. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm preaching to you. Here's the question, brother. Did Peter and Matthew disagree about baptism? It raises the question. Was there a disagreement here? Is the Bible incorrect? No. So let's look at what is happening. First of all, Matthew was in the upper room. Matthew was standing with Peter when he preached, and they should be baptized in Jesus' name. So do you really believe that they disagreed when it came to the main issue of baptism? No. Jesus in this verse, secondly, let's look at this verse in Matthew 28:19. Jesus in this verse said to be baptized in the name singular, which implies, thank you, we're going somewhere, which implies that there is a single name that is associated with the Father, a single name that is associated with the Son.
in a single name that is associated with the Holy Ghost. So let's look at what that is. Isaiah 9:6. Y'all didn't know y'all were coming to Bible class this morning. It's okay. I love the Bible. For unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. John 14:8-9. Philip saith to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? What was he saying? The name of the Father is Jesus. Let's look at the Son, Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What is the name of the Son? The name of the Son is Jesus. What's the name of the Holy Ghost? John 14, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide with you forever. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. There's only one name that applies to the Father, and it's Jesus. There's only one name that applies to the Son, and it's Jesus. There's only one name that applies to the Holy Ghost, and it's Jesus. That's why every time somebody is baptized, it's always done in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you know him, would you worship him? I feel the Holy Ghost. Do you feel that? It's all in him. It's all in him. There's power when you preach the truth. Here's the deal. Brother, I don't know. What about Matthew 28:19? I love Matthew 28:19. I love preaching oneness from Matthew 28:19. You want to know why? Because in order to understand Matthew 28:19, this is what we don't like to talk about. You have to read Matthew 28:18. What does Matthew 28:19 say? It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. I'm going to give you, I know y'all didn't think y'all were going to get like this scholarly information. I'm going to give you a Bible tip. You ready? Anytime in the Bible where you see the word therefore, this is my pastor, this is me. This my whole life. Ready? Anytime in the Bible when you see the word therefore, you should go back and see what it's there for. Every time. I know it's simple. Y'all didn't think y'all were going to get there. Go back and see what it's there for. So let's go back and see what it's there for. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came. Holy Ghost. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Brother Sparks, they knew exactly who they was talking about. It was Jesus. He's the only name that's got power. He's the only name that can save. He's the only name that can heal. He's the only name with power. Listen, drugs couldn't save you, but Jesus can save you. Alcohol couldn't save you, but Jesus can save you. Medication couldn't save you, but Jesus can save you. Why? All power, all power, all power. Not some power, not one third of the power. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. God's going to heal you in Jesus' name. God, I feel the prophetic unction of the Holy Ghost. God's going to heal you in Jesus' name. God's going to save you in Jesus' name. God's going to fill you in Jesus' name. Somebody shout, all power. All power. He is all powerful. That's why I find it interesting that in Revelations 20 and 2, I love this. Y'all, I'm having so much fun. This is dangerous. Revelations 20 and 2, you ready? I love it. The Bible's so clear who has all power. The Bible's so clear what name we're supposed to baptize in. And this is where we get off. Yet we still have traditions of men that teach different things. That's okay. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But yet we are not confused about Revelations 20 and 2. Ready? I'll never forget Pastor Daniel Autry is the one that showed me this. I jumped out of my skin. You ready? And he laid hold on the dragon. Everybody say one. That old serpent, say two. Which is the devil, say three. And Satan, say four. And bound him 1,000 years. Who are we talking about here? The devil. Then why do we not say that there are four distinct persons to the devilhood? Because we realize that these are all merely titles referring to the same individual. And when Jesus spake, they realized that they were all merely titles referring to the same God who was manifest in the flesh, who was justified in the spirit. And so when they went, they baptized them in the name of Jesus. And before today is over, right now, if you would like to be baptized, the robes are ready, the water's ready, the towels are ready. You can go down in the name of Jesus Christ because it has all power. So here's the question, Pastor. What happened? What happened? Because my mother, she was baptized multiple different ways. Anybody else here? Look, you ain't got a hot. Anybody here been baptized multiple times? You know rebaptism is biblical? Yeah. Disciples of John said, how were you baptized? We've not even heard as much as there be any Holy Ghost. And when they heard this, they were all baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. If you never heard this before, chew, don't choke. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is here for you right now. But here, how'd it happen? Let's look at it. Used to be, before ChatGPT took over the world, you could ask Siri this, and now she's been perverted. But I'm telling you, it's a simple Google search. Ready? This is not me. These are encyclopedia entries. Not me. When was the baptismal formula changed? Look, if you're from a different denomination, if you're from a different ideology, hear me, we're all just trying to get after Jesus. And I want you to know the truth today because the truth shall make you free. Ready? Encyclopedia Britannica, the baptismal formula was changed from the name Jesus Christ to the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost by the Catholic Church in the 2nd century, 11th edition, volume 3, page 365. Caney, Encyclopedia of Religion, the early church always baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus until the development of the Trinity doctrine in the 2nd century, page 53. Catholic Encyclopedia, Catholics acknowledge that the baptismal formula was changed by the Catholic Church, volume 2, page 263. Hastings, Encyclopedia of Religion, Christian baptism was administered using the words in the name of Jesus, volume 2, page 377. Baptism was always in the name of the Lord Jesus until the time of Justin the Martyr when the triune formula was used. Y'all ain't ready for this. Name was an ancient synonym for person, page 377. Meaning, payment was always made in the name of some person, referring to ownership. Therefore, one being baptized, this isn't me, this is scholars, one being baptized in Jesus' name became his personal property, as if saying, ye are Christ's. Listen, I don't want a generic salvation when it comes to my salvation. I want the name brand. Put the name on me, Pastor. Put the name on my children. Put the name on my family. Put the name on my life. Listen, some of you don't trust your fashion to a generic brand. Walking out here with a Louis Vuitton. Y'all got real carnal.
You ain't walking around with a Tucci purse. Why? Because you recognize a name. Some of you won't even eat a sandwich if it's not a name brand. You walk right past the great value stuff. Why? You know that there's a certain amount of hatayala. There's a certain amount of respect that comes with it. There's a certain amount of authority that comes with a name. If you would not trust yourself, if you would not trust your fashion, if you would not trust your food, why are you trusting your salvation to a generic God? Well, I'm telling you, he is not generic. All power is in the name. That's why when Peter stands up with the 11, with Matthew behind him, he says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, it's for you. It's for you. It's for you. That's why Acts 4:12, and I'm coming to a close, says it this way, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Cancer has to bow at the name. Diabetes has to bow at the name. Depression has to bow at the name. You know what they refer to baptism as? And this is where we're getting off track. Baptism was an entrance into covenant. Old Testament was made with circumcision. New Testament, they talk about the circumcision made without hands. What are they referring to? Baptism. You are literally coming into contract. I'll tell you why you feel like there's no authority in your life. Well, you feel like there's no power in your prayer, because until you come into contract, until that name is signed in blood, and he purchases you with his name, you are always going to have identity issues. You want to know why there is a holiness problem in the church today? It happened. Look at it. We all used to be the same. Pentecostal Assembly of God, you keep going back. Everything used to be the same. But what happened? And, well, they lost holiness. No, let me tell you what happens first when you lose who the Father truly is. You lose your identity when you lose that I am a child of the one true and living God. That's when you lose your holiness. That's when you lose your righteousness. That's when you lose your authority. But if you will allow the name to be applied to your life today, you can come into contract. And everything halabosot that tries to follow you in the water, it can't follow you out of the water. Somebody can come to a piano. We're about to get ready to pray. If you'd stand to your feet all across this place. It's a man by the name of Naaman who is rifled with leprosy. Goes, this man tells him, I want you to go. I want you to go dip in the Jordan 7 times. I couldn't do that. It's disgusting. It's uncomely. Sometimes the biggest enemy of ourselves is not the devil. It's us. Because in order to grab the hand of a righteous God, you know what you're going to have to do first? You're going to have to let go. And you're going to have to realize that that the furthest that you can make it on your own is hell. I know it's real straight, but it's real right. You've tried it. You tried it. You failed. I tried. I failed. Then why wouldn't you try Jesus? You know what he told him? Go dip seven times. You know what the number of completion is? Seven. You know what he was telling him? It wasn't about the number. He was telling him, go do it until it's done. And you know what I feel in this house? Is some of you are in the middle of something and you're trying to figure out if you're going to hold on to your pride. You're trying to figure out if you're going to hold on to your ego. You're trying to figure out if you're going to hold on to your cute outfit or what you're going to do. But I can feel some fingers slipping today. It's time to let go. It's time to stop holding on and just say, I'm going to do this until it's done. I'm going to pray until I make it. I'm going to fast until it happens. It's time to enter into covenant today. Well, Brother Curry, the devil's just really been after me. You know what I'm convinced the problem with us is, including myself? We are more convinced of our adversary than we are our advocate. Because the Bible says, thanks be to God, which always causes us to try. But you know what I learned, Brother Cole? I can't lose. I can't lose. You're telling me I can't lose. And I've come to preach to a people that feel like you can't win, when the actual revelation is, it's not that you can't win, it's that you can't lose. If you will throw yourself into the name, if you'll throw yourself, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and are saved. If you will fall on Jesus. You're going to have to get over a victim mentality. You want to know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to reach up to a Father who is bigger and better than you are. This is what I feel. There are some of you, and it's time to come back into covenant. You used to live for God, you used to do things, but something happened. It's time to come back to the Father's house. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I can feel it. It's time to come back to covenant. Because Lot, the moment you left covenant, is the moment you went to Sodom. And the moment you look back, is the moment everything changed. What are you looking back at? What are you looking back at? You know the horrible things that were there? And here's all actuality. We're not afraid to brag about how horrible it is. Life is bad, Pastor. Things are rough. Change it. Change it. But sometimes it's easier to be more comfortable in our affliction than to be provoked into our freedom. But not today. We are standing, I know it's a different speed than what we started out service, but we are standing at a moment. Ask the children of Israel, are you with me or are you against me? Choose you this day who you will serve. And you know what I can feel? There is a line in the spirit today. And you're going to have to make up in your mind, do I keep trying to hold on? Or do I step across the line? I want you to reach to the person next to you, and I want you to ask them, will you come to the altar with me? This doesn't mean you're joining a church. They're about to sing some songs, and God's about to minister.
But I want you to ask him, would you come to the altar? There you go. Begin to move. Come on, right now. Come on, right now is the time to move. Come on, it's the time. You need to move out of your seat. You need to move into an altar right now. The Holy Ghost is here for you right now. It's time to reach unto the Father. It's time to lift your hands. Come on, church, begin to move and pray. Whether this is your first time in an altar or your thousandth time in an altar, who cares? God, I need you. God, I want you. God, I need your spirit to move. Come on, lift your voice right now. Lift your voice right now.